Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Just when I thought things couldn't get any crazier, welcome to Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Welcome to The Big Show. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Very busy afternoon ahead of us. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
They are anticipating at least the possibility of rioting in Bellevue this afternoon and this evening. And that is because some cop haters, Marxists, on the Seattle City Council have agitated people because a group wanted to do a nice dinner for Seattle's first responders. Let me give you the background on this. A couple of weeks ago, Franklin Graham, the son of the Reverend Billy Graham, he wanted to do something because our police have been under such attack, brutal attack, for more than a year. And so Franklin Graham wanted to do something nice for the first responders here in Seattle. So he arranged a really nice dinner tonight at a fancy Bellevue hotel. I won't name it because of the anticipated problems. But last week, Lorena Gonzalez, who just hates police officers by all of her public actions and proclamations, Lorena Gonzalez was complaining because it was Franklin Graham hosting this dinner for Seattle cops. Now, again, this is the tyranny of people like Lorena Gonzalez. Just because she disagrees with some group, she believes that group should be canceled. She doesn't trust police officers to make the best decision for their lives. She has decided that she must have tyrannical control over police officers' lives. And so when Seattle police, a couple of weeks ago, they sent out on their internal messaging system an invitation to all Seattle officers to attend this nice dinner, totally free of charge, hosted by Franklin Graham. And then Lorena Gonzalez got involved. And she started wailing that, no, Franklin Graham is a Christian. And we're afraid that our LGBTQ community will be offended if the cops go to this dinner. You must rescind the invitation. And then Chief Diaz, who I was hopeful would be an okay leader for the Seattle police, he showed that he is not a leader at all. And he completely caved in to Lorena Gonzalez, and they rescinded the invitation from their internal server at Seattle Police. Now, the dinner goes on, and the cops are still invited. It's just that they weren't allowed to be invited by the Seattle Police email system. Again, because Lorena Gonzalez completely unfounded said, offensive to LGBTQ, can't go to this dinner. I, in a Dory Monson Show exclusive, I had Franklin Graham on this show last week. And first of all, he told me why they are holding this dinner for police officers. Can we get our audio here, please?
These various communities don't want to defund the police and don't back the police, and they're discouraged. And of course, there's over the headlines over last week, I believe, over 200 have quit in Seattle this past year.
Yes.
And how discouraged they are. So we're wanting just to have a dinner, and we're inviting the police and their spouses, and they can be, regardless of their religion or their sexual orientation or whatever, if you're a police officer, you and your spouse are invited. And we're going to just have a great dinner, a time for fellowship one with another. We've got a great speaker. We'll have live music, but it'll be just an evening for them, and we're paying the bill. And it's a no charge to them. We just want to encourage them and let them know that we love them and we support them and we back them 100%.
Wow, it sounds really hateful, doesn't it? And the thing is, normal ears like yours and mine, you hear that and you think, well, that's wonderful. They're picking up the tab. They're going to have fellowship, music, live speaker, just a night to let cops know that they're loved and appreciated. That's what we all hear. But in the head of Lorena Gonzalez, she hears the exact same words, and she thinks, hateful to LGBTQ! Can't do it! Shouldn't do it! And then Chief Diaz, man, I understand we got some whack jobs on the city council, but Chief Diaz caving into this is really, really disappointing. And remember, this is Seattle City Council. You know, like last summer, Teresa Mosqueda speaking to a crowd, and she couldn't care less that there was a guy standing right next to her with a bullhorn saying this.
It sounds like you were trying to breathe exactly as we're out here fighting for the
ability
for people to breathe.
I need you to do me a favor.
That is
take your guns, put them under your chins, and pull the trigger.
This isn't a response that protesters
I need you to kill yourselves. That's your only redemption.
If what I'm asking you to do is tell me when you were sitting over in the...
Go ahead. Save us the trouble of tearing you apart.
What happened?
And kill yourselves.
Okay, so that is acceptable to members of the Seattle City Council like Teresa Mosqueda. Telling cops to put their guns to their head and kill themselves, that is acceptable. But then to Mosqueda and Lorena Gonzalez, a dinner with music and fellowship, telling cops we love them, that is unacceptable to them. And that shows you just how twisted and upside down some people are. And so more from Franklin Graham. I asked him about the police department rescinding sending out the invitation. And she put heavy pressure on the Seattle Police Department to rescind the invitation because she said you and your organization hosting police officers might offend our LGBTQ community. So what is your response to the Seattle City Councilwoman, Lorena Gonzalez?
Well, for any police officer that is a member of this LGBTQ community, they're certainly welcome. And again, we're wanting police officers, regardless of their religion or sexual orientation, the color of their skin, they are welcome to come. And we just want them to know that we support them, and that this is all this is. It's just a chance to get behind our law enforcement when they're discouraged, when they're down. And so I'm sorry that she has taken that position, but we're still going ahead with the dinner. We haven't backed down.
And here's the difference. You know, Franklin Graham might disagree with people on the radical left, but they don't go and protest their events. They don't try to cancel them. But the people on the far left, including government officials, which are not supposed to silence people in the private sector, government officials will try to cancel and silence anybody they disagree with. And again, the only reason that Lorena Gonzalez disagrees with this dinner is because it is a Christian-hosted event. You know, and we've talked about this a lot. Marxism is officially an atheistic political viewpoint. I mean, that's codified in Marxism, that it is about being atheists. And it is absolutely necessary to execute your plan to convince everybody that, you know, as Karl Marx said, religion is the opium of the masses, and to just talk down religion. Well, that's what people like Lorena Gonzalez do today. And I talked to Franklin Graham about that, how they don't silence the people they disagree with, but the left sure tries to silence
them.
Do you do anything that actively discriminates against the LGBTQ community?
Never. We would never do that. And first of all, I'm not anti-gay. I love them and care for them and want them to know the truth. And I believe the Bible is true, so I want to share with them what God has to say. It's not what Franklin Graham says, it's just what God says. And so I want them to know those things, but I certainly I don't go to their rallies and picket. I don't fight them in any way. We invite them. They're not fighting, we're inviting.
And now, today, Bellevue police say they are preparing for possible rioting this afternoon and evening because, and this is on Lorena Gonzalez. She's the one who decided to agitate and rile up people about this. And if there is rioting and unrest in Bellevue tonight, if they go to the hotel where this dinner is taking place, that's on Lorena Gonzalez, Seattle City Council President. And it is absolutely despicable. It's reprehensible that they try to silence anybody they disagree with. But again, the further you get out on the Marxist spectrum, the more you must be an atheist and you must hate Christianity. And sadly, along with that seems to be a hatred of Christians. These are the sad state of affairs that we're in the midst of right now in our city. And I hope cops show up en masse tonight. You are still invited. The dinner goes on. They will show you that they love and respect and appreciate you, a message you do not hear often enough. Fellowship, fun, uplifting, positive. How in the world could somebody like Lorena Gonzalez want to deny that after everything our police officers have been through for the last year? It's just, it's mind-blowing to me. All right, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead update.
I hope this story does not go away because we found out late last week, it was the Friday news dump, that 10 months of Mayor Jenny Durkan's text messages had just disappeared. They said that it was a technology error that caused them to disappear. It turns out, we have learned since yesterday, that several media outlets that had requested through a public records disclosure request, requested all of those text messages, that they were told the mayor's office simply said, nope, doesn't apply to the mayor. Now, I've been telling you ever since last summer what was going on when domestic terrorists took over six blocks of Capitol Hill and the East Precinct of the Seattle Police Station. Jenny Durkan let it go on for far too long. At least two teenagers got murdered while she let Chaz Chop happen. And then Jenny Durkan, shockingly, agreed to pay $100 million tax dollars ransom to the groups that had taken over the city. You don't negotiate with terrorists. That's a pretty standard approach. But these were clearly domestic terrorists, and Jenny Durkan gave them $100 million if they would give back to us Capitol Hill and the East Precinct. Well, a lot of us want to know exactly how all of this went down. But Jenny Durkan has magically lost 10 months worth of text messages. And then we found out over the weekend that then Police Chief Carmen Best and Fire Chief Harold Scoggins, that all of their text messages for the month of June, when all of this was happening, they too have disappeared. Now, I do have good sources that say these can be recovered through their cell phone provider's server. But the fact that they are trying to pull this off, I mean, this is a major crime. This is a scandal that should put people in prison. There's a reason why we have public disclosure laws, and it's so government can be somewhat transparent. But as Jenny Durkin and apparently now Carmen Best and Harold Scoggins, as they were communicating with each other, as Seattle was taken over by terrorists, as they were negotiating $100 million ransom, they don't want us to see any of the text communications from any of those three major public figures. This is also a much broader problem in our state. You may recall at the state unemployment office where they stonewalled the auditor and wouldn't turn over any records or documents, where they say the documents have disappeared. We have a one-party state, and right now that one party reeks to high heaven. You have Jay Inslee, you have Susie Levine getting promoted to the Biden administration. You have, now it looks like, more than $1 billion that was stolen from taxpayers at unemployment. Where did that money go? I don't believe it all went to Nigerian scammers. I don't know if any of it went to Nigerian scammers. But I know $1 billion is gone. It got funneled somewhere. I know that Jenny Durkin and Carmen Best and Harold Scoggins, that they've made text messages disappear. This is something we are going to stay all over. I get the sense that the story is starting to fade a little bit. And I'm telling you right now, people should be going to prison. And we have a one-party rule in our state, in our city, throughout our region, that believes they are above the law. And because of that, laws are being broken on public disclosure. So, yes, we will continue to try to find out where all those text messages went, what they say, and see if some of these public officials should go to prison for what they did, they thought, in the silence of the night. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up, we'll check the news for you. And then, a lot of people question why I called somebody a liar yesterday. And I will carefully explain. There are so many people who questioned it that I think you deserve an explanation. And so I will. And then also, the hypocrisy of the showbiz industry has never been on greater display than it is right now with NBC and the Golden Globes and supposed racism. Oh, we got it all for you. Don't go anywhere. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. I had a lot of people who asked me a question via text during the show yesterday, and I thought it deserved an answer. I was talking about how Good Morning America lied to its viewers and how this was an example of how the media is dramatically skewing things for Joe Biden, a media that went after Donald Trump every chance they got. And what I played as my example was at the beginning of Good Morning America on Friday, they said that there are going to be some great job numbers that come out about an hour from now. And it's going to be fantastic. And it's going to show that the Joe Biden economy is doing great things. And here's what Michael Strahan and their reporter said on Good Morning America.
Now to the American economy, possibly turning a corner. Weekly jobless claims falling to the lowest level since last March as the latest monthly jobs report comes out this morning, bringing more positive signs with it. Rebecca Jarvis has more this morning. Good morning.
Okay. Great numbers are coming out in an hour. Positive jobs report. Economy's turning around.
Good morning. morning too, Michael. Yeah, and that's why it's positive, because we're seeing layoffs starting to really fall here. And we're just an hour away from the official U.S. jobs report for the month of April, where economists believe that the economy added 1 million jobs. That would be the strongest month of job recovery.
Okay, they think that we added 1 million jobs. And then the numbers came out an hour later. And on CNBC, they were so horrible that CNBC thought it must have been a typo.
Let's get to Steve, because he's got the number. It's, okay, good, 1.08. Steve, the number.
Wow, it just came across. Give me a second here. We have the number here. Just came across. Sorry about Rich that. It came across very quickly here. It looks like 266,000. It looks like it was a big disappointment at 266.
Okay, so it was a huge disappointment. It was 25% of what economists were forecasting. And I said, and Good Morning America, they just lied to their viewers. And people said on the text message, they said, wait, how can you accuse them of lying? Economists were projecting that. They were reporting what economists said. And that's a fair question. But I do have a great answer for that question. The job numbers came out at 8:30 Eastern time. Good Morning America still had a half hour on the air. This was their lead story at 7 a.m. that we are going to get great, great job numbers today. They had a half hour to correct what they said at the beginning of the show, to let people know that, yeah, all those rosy numbers we were telling you about, they were all wrong. And the Biden economy is doing horrible, and people are choosing not to work because they'd rather be deadbeats and sit home and collect unemployment. They didn't say any of that. And there are two types of lies. There's the lie of commission, and there's the lie of omission. And the lie of commission is a performance of an act that a professional would not do. That's commission. That is actively lying. Omission is a failure to perform an act that a professional would perform. And that's why this was a lie of omission. If you tell everybody in your audience at the beginning of the show that these great, mind-blowing, fantastic Biden economy job numbers are coming out an hour from now, and then an hour later, the numbers are horrible, and you don't utter a peep? You don't tell your audience that everything you said an hour earlier was dead wrong? I mean, you can blame it on the economists if you want. But at Good Morning America, they didn't want Joe Biden and Biden's economy to look bad. So they just ignored that news. They did not correct the misinformation that they had given out earlier that day. That is a lie. It's a lie of omission. And so I appreciate everybody asking, but I will easily defend that one as them lying to their audience and doing it for political purposes. Now, there's another story that's in the news that just shows how ridiculous the media is. NBC has announced that it will not air the Golden Globes Award telecast in 2022. And the reason, they say there's not enough diversity in the Hollywood foreign press. They have 90 voters and none of them are black. And they say that there's just not enough diversity. And so they are not going to carry the Golden Globes Awards. Tom Cruise yesterday sent back to the Golden Globes offices the three Golden Globes he's won, because he's so disgusted by their lack of diversity. Mark Ruffalo, an actor, he says that he just won a Golden Globe 3 months ago. And he made an announcement yesterday, and he said that he cannot feel good or feel proud about winning a Golden Globe. Really? Let's go back 3 months. Let's listen to how ashamed Mark Ruffalo was when he won the award.
I love you guys. Oh, God. Okay. First of all, this group of actors, these are my peers. These are the people I admire and love and look up to. So I'm so honored to be here with you guys. Thank you, Hollywood Foreign Press. Thank you, HBO. Thank you.
What? He's honored to get the award? He thanks the Hollywood Foreign Press? That was less than 3 months ago. But now, because there's some winds blowing, and none of these people like this have a moral compass at all. He was thrilled to win the Golden Globe 3 months ago. And then yesterday he heard that the Golden Globes are racist. So he issues a statement. Honestly, as a recent winner of a Golden Globe, I cannot feel proud or happy about being a recipient of this award. He was thrilled when he got it 3 months ago. Now he's ashamed. I mean, the phoniness. And then let's talk about the Hollywood community as a whole. This is a community, they say, because of the lack of diversity. The Hollywood Foreign Press is horrible and it's racist. This is a community that gave a standing ovation at the Oscars for a child rapist.
The Oscar goes to Roman Polanski for The Pianist.
That was the biggest ovation of the night, that night, for Roman Polanski, who drugged a 13-year-old child. And as they scanned the crowd, Jack Nicholson stood up and was part of the standing ovation. Meryl Streep, Martin Scorsese, for a child rapist. And it was at Jack Nicholson's house where it happened, where Roman Polanski drugged a 13-year-old child's drink and then had sex with her. And now has been, you know, cowardly on the run ever since he was convicted of child rape. And he has been in Europe ever since, where he can't be extradited. But you're telling me that a Hollywood community that gives a standing ovation to a child rapist, that they suddenly care so much about a lack of diversity in the Hollywood Foreign Press Corps? I mean, this is all insanity. And somebody has to call it out, because otherwise they can just blow with the wind. Everyone's going to forget how hypocritical all of their actions are. But you'll know. I know. And I'll keep shining a light on this stuff, man. It's crazy. All right, quick time out. Lots more to come. Oh, I've got to update some of our school issues. And I'll do that coming up next in the Dory Monson Show. Want to update you on a couple of stories that we've told you about. I'll do that throughout the afternoon here, including up in Bellingham. Last week, we told you about the Bellingham schools and how a first grade teacher was assigning to the kids a book about a transgender child. Book is titled I Am Jazz. And so I read to you some of the exchanges between parents and members of the school board. So now we have been trying to get answers as well, here on the Dory Monson Show. So we contacted the Bellingham schools. And what we wanted to know, first of all, it came out that the president of the school board in Bellingham owns an all-ages sex shop. She says she will only sell to those 18 and older, but if a 12-year-old, 10-year-old, 8-year-old wants to come into her sex shop and see toys that replicate male genitalia. I don't like saying the D word. But if the kids come in and see that, that's no problem. We're all sexed up here in the Bellingham schools. So we asked them. They refused to come on the show last week. So we sent a bunch of questions and ask them to just give us an answer in writing if they wouldn't come on. And so I want to share with you the questions that we asked. We said, is the transgender first grade book in every elementary school in the Bellingham schools? Was it selected by the school's library, or is it part of the district's book selection, or is it a teacher who's freelancing? I think we need to know that. Is the book available for teacher read sessions to put it in some sort of context, or could a kindergarten, first, or second grader check it out on their own at the library without adult supervision? Question three. Is this part of the health curriculum or the reading curriculum? Are other first grade teachers at this elementary reading this book to children? Is it more about the teacher's choice? And then finally, there's a popular teacher's website called We Are Teachers. And it has 60 titles on it under the category 60 Best Books for First Graders. Our Friend Hedgehog, Buddy Bench, Princess in the Pit Stop. The transgender book does not appear on that list of the 60 Best for First Graders. So we asked, why the transgender book and not the others that promote inclusivity? Now, we talked last week with the Young America Foundation that broke that story. I've been hopeful to get something from the Bellingham schools, either someone to come on or someone to answer our questions in writing. They refused to do so. And again, as a parent, as a member of the community, as a taxpayer, it does make me wonder, why won't they answer basic questions about why a transgender book is being introduced to first grade children? It is simply beyond the scope of their understanding, and what it does is it throws chaos into the mind of a 5 or 6 year old child. If they've grown up to understand that the world is a certain way, and then all of a sudden you have a teacher who may be freelancing, we don't know, they won't answer the question, but you have a teacher that introduces something that is completely beyond the comprehension understanding of a 5 or 6 year old. As a parent, and I heard from many parents, as a parent, I'd be outraged by that. I'm outraged that teachers and administrators have decided that their radical agenda is more important than what is best for the kids. So the Bellingham schools, all they said is, read the statement on our website. And the statement on their website didn't answer any of those questions. So I continue to ask, is this radicals who are just freelancing to get inside the heads of little 5 and 6 year olds? If so, I think that's sick. I do think that's sick. Or is it part of the curriculum? And if so, I think that's wrong. All right, that's the update. Much more in the Fastest 15 next.